I'm really delighted to have with me today on the podcast Andy Wood. Andy is a Cornish vegetarian eco-warrior with a long history of working internationally in oil and gas and who has now moved into the geothermal industry. Andy works with Seraphy Energy, which provides net zero baseload energy, and I'm excited to share this story. Andy, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I never pass up the possibility to talk about geothermal energy.
That's superb. I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about your background to start with and how you got interested in geothermal energy.
Sure. Well, my background is not uncommon. I've spent 30 years working in oil and gas. I started straight after graduation working as a mudlogger on the rigs in the North Sea. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It was an absolutely fantastic job, great learning experience. It's a great way of learning about upstream business generally because you get involved in absolutely everything on the rig. Everybody wants to come to you for information, and it was just great fun. Very steep learning curve. From then, I went on to work as a wellsite geologist. Again, it's a very common path. And in that role, it's supervision of basically everything that happens offshore, geological. Again, great fun. Opening up the spectrum a little bit as to what you're responsible for and what you're exposed to. So after 10 years offshore, I was lucky enough to be offered a role in the office at a company called Talisman Energy, Canadian company. I was working in the North Sea, and that was also good fun. Talisman was quite different at the time because they had a focus on what they called low-cost operatorship. And that's something that was kind of unheard of up to that point. So it kind of pricked my ears a little bit, and it got me thinking about cost saving and optimization of operations, but still actually achieving good results. Talisman asked me to build an operations geology team, a wellsite geology team over in their Norwegian office in late 2003. I then spent 7 years with them in Stavanger in Norway, which was a fantastic role, building the team and again honing those skills in operational optimization and cost saving. I then did a quick job for Petro-Canada, again with the Canadian theme was there kind of constantly. That was an HPHT well, again in Norway. Following that, which was great fun, I was approached by Tullow Oil, who asked me to lead their East African Operations Geology Subsurface Operations team. And that, again, was great, diversifying my skills further into contract management and knowledge capture and basically expanding all the time and doing what I really loved, and that's this optimization of operations and cost saving, just honing those skills and really making a difference, which is something I really enjoyed. So I spent another 7 years with Tullow, working in countries like Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia, trips down to South Africa, being based in London the whole time. Really, really good fun. Unfortunately, the operations in East Africa came to an end, and then I started doing interim management and consultancy work. That was kind of an ad hoc basis. And at that point, or maybe even slightly before, I decided to kind of have a look around and see where I was going to go, because I really couldn't go any further in that particular career path, because I've been a consultant for so long and because of the natural progress of people from my background, I kind of sat back and really looked at what it was that I wanted to do. So at that point, really, I started thinking about potentially stepping outside of oil and gas. I've always been a massive environmentalist. As you described from my bio, it says I'm an eco-warrior, and I always have been. I will talk to anybody that I can about the environment and environmentalism, whichever form that may take. And so I wanted to include environmentalism and that kind of positive side that I'd learned in oil and gas, because it's something that's very much involved in everything to do with oil and gas. People don't associate oil and gas with the environment, but it's something that oil and gas does so well. So I wanted to drag that on with me to my new career. And I also, of course, had a massive 30 years in drilling. So I came to the conclusion that environment and drilling led to geothermal energy, which I then started looking into and decided it would be a great thing for me to jump into. And that's kind of what pushed me in that direction.
That's great. So can you maybe just walk us through a little bit, how does geothermal work, and maybe give us a little bit of the history behind the technology and its deployment globally?
Sure. Well, geothermal, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory how it works, in that it is literally harnessing the heat from the earth. Most people are aware of the concept. The center of the earth is apparently the same temperature as the surface of the sun. So it's pretty hot, about 6,000 degrees Celsius. Wherever you are on the planet, you have that potential to tap into geothermal energy. Traditionally, though, it's been associated with the hot parts of the world. It's what everyone associates geothermal energy with. I mean, the Romans used geothermal spas, geysers, and that kind of things, hot springs for their villas, for heating, etc. So there is a long, long history, but really the 20th century saw the first practical geothermal electricity generation. That was kind of started in the early 20th century in Italy, in the Pisa area. And basically, it's that area of Europe has a high geothermal gradient, and what the guys down in Italy did is created a few kilowatts of electricity by turning a turbine with steam. And that was the beginning. So now globally, everyone associates geothermal energy with Iceland, for example. The largest user in the world of geothermal energy is actually the US. You have a great continent which has some really impressive geothermal gradients, particularly off to the west. But there are geothermal gradients that are quite reasonable all over the country. So places like the US, as I said, Iceland, Turkey, Kenya, Indonesia are the main users of geothermal energy today.
Now, can you give us a sense of what your company, Seraphie, specifically does within the geothermal space?
Sure. Seraphie is a company composed of oil and gas professionals with some geothermal experience. And because of that, then we're a little bit different in the space. Traditionally, geothermal energy has focused on a few different approaches, but over the last, let's say, 3 years or so, then oil and gas professionals have started focusing, because of the energy transition, on what they can do to solve the issues with geothermal energy. So Seraphie has an approach of providing closed-loop single-well solutions. I'll explain a little bit more about that later on, but effectively what we do is we provide a cradle-to-grave service going from project feasibility through to design, execution, construction of production facilities. We'll even act as a utility partner for a set period of time. And we can also source finance for projects. So what we do is everything geothermal, but particularly looking at this problem-solving closed-loop scenario. I should add that something else that we do is the repurposing of existing wells. So whether that's oil and gas wells or failed geothermal wells, then we can actually take those, recomplete them, and create something out of them almost 100% of the time, depending on the well architecture. And finally, our last kind of groundbreaking offering is what we call the CoPro well, where we will work with oil and gas companies in their existing fields to drill geothermal wells and then sidetrack those wells into an oil and gas target and produce both geothermal energy and oil and gas from the same wellhead. The electricity that generates can then be used to power the oil and gas facility, which helps the oil company move to their net zero targets. The excess heat can be used for local communities or industry. So it's a very elegant solution to environment social governance problems that many oil companies face.
That's fantastic. What are some of the misconceptions maybe around your industry or around geothermal technologies? For example, you did a LinkedIn post a short while ago about seismic hooliganism, and maybe you can tell us a bit about that and how Seraphie mitigates some of the risks that geothermal energy has been characterized by.
Yeah, it's geothermal has had a bad press, and to some extent it's for good reason, and sometimes it's just the kind of guilty by association side of things. I mean, the misconceptions are, number one, you have to live next to a volcano in order to get geothermal energy. That's completely not true. The technology that we use as therapy means that you can generate electricity from geothermal gradients like those that we have almost everywhere in the UK. We look for a geothermal gradient of 30 degrees Celsius per kilometre. The UK's range is between 26 and 58 degrees per kilometre, to give you an idea. So about 90% plus of the UK can actually be used for electricity generation through geothermal energy. If you look at the states, you have very similar gradients going up to higher temperatures. So around the south, east Texas, Houston, Galveston, for example, that kind of area has a really good potential geothermal gradient. And that's somewhere where you could drill fresh wells to create electricity from geothermal energy. So there's that heat thing. And because of that, then Seraphie solution means that we can provide electricity, let's say it's a ballpark figure, but 90% of occasions, and heat energy in 100% of scenarios. So that's the one misconception. You have to be somewhere hot. Then there's the fact that everyone thinks that the wells have to be very deep. Also, that's a kind of a misperception, because we can repurpose existing oil and gas wells, which don't have to be very deep at all. If you have a bottom hole temperature of, let's say, 60 degrees Celsius, then we can provide heat energy from that, which can be used for things like district heating, industrial heating. There's a very, very long list of potential applications. People also consider that there's a great deal of technical risk with geothermal energy, and that actually is kind of true in the old scenario where you drill two wells and you pump cold water down one well and harvest it from the second, because it doesn't always work. There's a great deal of reliance on the subsurface in that scenario where you pump water down a well and you kind of hope that your modeling of the subsurface has been accurate enough to mean that that water travels to the second well. But that's not always the case. So there are cases of projects where a couple of wells have been drilled, and only when they are being tested is it discovered that the whole project isn't going to work because there's no subsurface communication. That is a very big risk, and it's ever present in those old enhanced geothermal two-well systems. That's something, again, that Seraphie kind of eradicates through our single-well approach. The other thing, of course, is that it's considered to be very expensive. That scenario I've just spoken about is expensive, particularly when the technical risk proves to be correct. The whole project is broken and all of the expense produces nothing. That is an expense. Again, the Seraphie single well solution means that that isn't a problem. And the seismic hooliganism that you refer to is something that it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it is actually a fair description of what happens when the enhanced geothermal systems are actually pumping cold fluid into the subsurface. It can induce very distinct pressure changes, and those pressure changes can trigger earthquakes. And while, you know, that sounds reasonable in the science perspective, it's actually not reasonable to the people on the surface who these earthquakes affect. So there are a couple of examples in Europe, Switzerland and France, namely, that have induced earthquakes through this seismic hooliganism, and as a result, the projects have to be cancelled because it, in Europe anyway, it just is unacceptable for this secondary seismic activity to cause damage to property. There are places in the world where it's not considered too big of a problem, but it's something that Seraphie takes very seriously, and as a result, that's another tick in the box for this closed well solution, this closed loop solution, because we inject nothing into the subsurface. We also take nothing from the subsurface. And that's the final risk with these traditional systems, is that quite often the fluids that come from the subsurface and are taken to the surface have all kinds of nasty pollutants in them. And they can be quite serious. So there's a great deal of waste management that needs to be involved. With Seraphie's system, there is no waste. Therefore, there is no waste management. It's closed loop. So if you think about that, then we have effectively solved the geothermal energy problem. And that, to me, is a fantastic thing, because it means that not only can our system be used everywhere, but we've also mitigated all risk. It's a very, very exciting prospect. And it's, I hasten to add that Serapi isn't the only company that does this. There are others, most of whom also come from the oil and gas sphere. But there are other people having a go at this, and it's a very exciting time as a result.
It is. Maybe leading in from that, can you give us an idea of the growth potential? Because we're starting from a pretty small utilization of this technology. Is that correct? And you know, what's some of the potential of this industry? How scalable are we talking about?
Yeah, well, growth potential is huge. It's that simple. If you look at the geothermal industry, the latest figures I have were that the business is worth $1.4 billion a year, which in today's economy is next to nothing. Geothermal energy accounts for less than 0.3% of the world's energy supply. So it is absolutely tiny. And the size of the geothermal industry is because until now, there hasn't been that elegant solution that I'm talking about, which will guarantee production and takes away that financial risk. So the potential of the business is absolutely huge. And the reasons for that come from the fact that we've got these problem solvers from oil and gas. But so as I say, the risk is gone. But if you look at the positive sides of what geothermal has to offer, then that to me as an environmentalist is the really exciting thing. For example, geothermal is a baseload renewable energy. Nothing else does that. So wind and solar, wind, the stats for the UK, for example, offshore wind, is that it has 40% efficacy. Now, that means that if you have a turbine that produces 1 megawatt, you need to build 2.5 of those before you can guarantee you get 1 megawatt of generated electricity. So the 24/7 nature of geothermal is a massive selling point, and it's something that will grow the kind of the traction in the business. It's completely scalable, to answer your question. The simple projects where we're repurposing oil and gas wells may produce hundreds of kilowatts of heat energy, or maybe 1 megawatt of heat energy. But when we're talking about several of these repurposed oil and gas wells, then it grows again up to megawatts. And if we're looking at bespoke wells drilled for geothermal electricity, then each well can be, let's say, 3 to 5 megawatts. If you drill 10 of those, then you're talking about some significant scale. So we have a baseload scalable solution. It's off-grid, which is a fantastic thing. Again, it means that you can live in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, and you don't have to rely on infrastructure to supply yourself with energy. And that is a fantastic thing, particularly for island and remote location solutions. So that's another box ticked. And it's something that, yes, if you have a wind turbine, you can do that, but it's not baseload. Geothermal also has a very, very small footprint.
I was just going to ask that, a very small footprint, right? Can you give us a sense of the kind of footprint you need for a given kind of production?
Most people that have worked in oil and gas will know that in order to drill a well, you need space for a rig. So that's going to be somewhere in the region of 100 meters by 100 meters just for the pad for the rig. However, once we've drilled that bespoke well, we don't need that whole area. So it can be a quarter of that size, let's say, which means that the footprint is very small. And the actual production facility will be maybe the size of a shipping container. And that can be very nicely disguised. But of course, you need access to the site, etc. And a shipping container can have brick walls put around it and a roof and be made to look like a domestic building. So you can completely camouflage them. Unlike some of our renewable energy competitors, for example, a megawatt of solar power does involve destroying the environment to a large degree. And then if you want a gigawatt of solar power, it means that you can see these panels as far as the eye can see. So it's, again, another elegant aspect of this solution. The other thing, while I'm doing a comparison, I don't like to do the comparisons too much because wind and solar do have their place and they are important. But something else that they use that geothermal doesn't is exotic minerals. And that's an important thing because there are many negative sides to the use of rare earths and exotic minerals. And the first one, of course, being the mining and the mining practices. and the human element of some of those mining practices. There's also the fact that you then have to transport that material halfway across the earth to get it to its target. So geothermal just uses steel and maybe a bit of rubber. So that's what we do. We don't need these rare earths. So another element is that the fact that we don't have to rely on those kind of nasties. Then we have the aspects of energy security that can be provided by this off-grid baseload solution. We can provide food security through glasshouse projects. We can provide heating through for residential district heating solutions. And then direct heat for industry in a form of cooking, curing, drying, sterilizing, brewing, distilling. The list goes on and on and on. We can produce green hydrogen. We can desalinate water, whether that is seawater or deep brine from aquifers. Then it's another string to the bow. And then there's employment. Geothermal energy has direct job creation of 1 to 2 jobs per megawatt of energy created, and then up to 50 jobs per megawatt in associated industry, for example, glasshouse projects. If you look at Iceland, for example, they have an 11,000 square meter glasshouse system, which provides 40% of the country's tomatoes. And that, to me, is a fantastic thing, the idea of being able to grow tomatoes in Iceland. It's superb. And then, lastly, during our production, we create absolutely zero carbon dioxide. I'll just say that again, zero carbon dioxide. It's what everybody is aiming for. It's what everybody wants. And that's what we do. There are very few alternative energies that can make the claim. In fact, I'm not sure there are any. It's something that, I mean, during production, yes, but the association is that we don't have any of those nasties during the actual making of the facilities either. So it's a very, very clean solution.
It's fantastic. Yeah, no, it's very exciting. So your firm right now is based in the UK, but you have recently launched an office in Houston. Can you tell us more about the kinds of projects you're pursuing, or really how diverse the applications are for geothermal energy? You touched on some of them, but I know there are even more that you've described to me in the past.
Sure, yeah. We are based in a place called Greentown Labs in Houston. It's quite an interesting park, apparently. I hope to visit one day. It's based around the environmentally positive company. So that's a great place for us to be based. Our operations in the US are going to be, as you say, I mean, first of all, I have to say they're going to be vast because of the massive potential, and they will also be varied. Texas was an obvious place for us to set up purely because of the fact it's the home of energy in the States, if not the world. So, of course, we had to have an office there. But more than anything, it's also the home of oil and gas, and a great deal of our initial work is going to be harvesting that low-hanging fruit, which is repurposing of oil and gas wells. And Texas and the surrounding states, of course, have millions, literally millions of oil and gas wells. And a great deal of those are going to be perfect donors for our solutions. Those wells that are ending their useful life producing oil or gas, and they need to have money spent on them to be abandoned. If that money instead is spent on a geothermal solution, then what we're doing is we're turning a liability into an asset. And that, again, is a great selling point for our service, because an oil company can take that energy and they can help it move them towards their net zero targets and also potentially gain an income from it. So it's rather than having that awful liability of a well that's doing nothing for you and needs money spent on it, it creates something that is actually very positive in every way. And as I've already mentioned, it can potentially provide employment to the local community and all of those other associated positive things. So the oil and gas side, of course, is an obvious target. There are also some failed geothermal projects in the US that we can help. So we'll be looking into repurposing geothermal wells into the closed-loop solution. But as you say, there's more than one application. So we also look for industry that needs heat And as I've already listed, there are a whole bunch of different types of industry or different purposes or practices within industry that require heat. So we talk to everything from breweries to sugar companies, anybody that requires heat in their industrial process. And we're already receiving approaches from companies in the US. We're also talking to organizations who are in construction, building things like shopping malls or industrial complexes that require electricity and heating and cooling solutions. Did you know you could get cooling from geothermal? I didn't, but you can. So there are so many applications. So we're talking to, for example, hospitals, government organizations, whether that's state or municipal, in some case national, shopping malls that need heating and electricity, numerous industries, also island communities, not just in the States, of course, but globally, because they all require energy. Anybody that needs green energy is somebody that we can help. And because we have that anywhere solution, then we really can help absolutely anybody achieve that net zero goal.
So you mean, for the construction project example, you mean at the design stage, you're planning to put in a fresh well, for example, a leisure center, and then it's integral right at the time they're commencing the construction. Is that right?
That's the most efficient way of doing it, yeah. It's, for example, in the UK, we're talking to building companies, some of the big national building companies who have, again, there's a massive pressure on all companies and countries to achieve this net zero goal, and construction of residential homes, for example. These companies are approaching us and saying, what can you do for us? And we're saying, well, if you drill one of our wells, then we can produce, let's say, 3 to 5 megawatts of electricity for your 1,000 house project. We can also install district heating solutions and pipe hot fluids around and create heating for each of these houses. So it's a great, something that was done by the Romans 2,000 years ago, underfloor heating from geothermal. Why we don't do more of it today, I don't know, but it's becoming something that is going to be much more popular and common. In the UK, we currently have 43 different district heating projects in place at various stages of their projects. And we have in excess of 100 community projects. So these district heating solutions traditionally have used maybe gas or, let's say, biomass, if they think they're particularly green. But more and more of the providers of these solutions are beginning to say, well, actually, this isn't good enough. In the UK, after I think it's 2030, we're not going to be able to install gas boilers. So there has to be an alternative. And because of that, these big companies are beginning to look into it now. And of course, it's something we can help with.
That's impressive. I didn't know about the 2030 goal in the UK. That's impressive. That's soon. So can you give us some examples of the return on investment or the tangible value creation for users of geothermal power?
Sure. It's kind of a piece of string question because every project is different. We're going to be working in dozens and dozens of countries, different parts of those countries, islands, cities, remote locations, and we're going to be producing heat and power to very different proportions, different volumes. So it really is, it's difficult to say this type of project will create this kind of profit. However, I can say that, for example, the repurposing of oil and gas wells is going to be the type of project with the fastest payback, because the great expense within geothermal energy is drilling a well. If you don't have to do that, then it means that the majority of the expenses just doesn't exist. So what we do is one intervention and then the installing of a production facility and the piping of that energy, whether it's electricity or heating, to wherever it needs to go. So that is a kind of project which will pay for itself in 2 years. And to me, that again is very exciting. taking something and creating, as I've said, that asset from a liability. But not only that, it's a very, very reasonable economic proposition. So that's kind of exciting to me. The bespoke wells, of course, will take longer as far as the repayment is concerned. It could be, as again, ballpark, it depends where you are on the cost of the project, but let's say 10 years for that project to completely pay itself back. But there are scenarios, for example, something that you and I spoke about before was I was mentioning the fact that we're talking to companies that have leisure facilities that spend a massive amount on heating swimming pools, and they do that by piping in electricity and then converting that electricity into heat. So these companies are paying up to $20,000 a month on their heating bills. So the great thing about geothermal energy, and specifically from repurposed oil and gas wells, is that if you have a well within a few miles that's ripe for this kind of repurposing, then we can halve the bills of these companies and make a great saving. And it's, again, I use the word elegant a lot because it's something that I think fits very well. It's creating something from nothing. It's reducing waste, because transporting electricity any distance is a wasteful process. It's an inefficient process. So what we do is it's an invisible saving, if you like, of that, the transport of that electricity, as well as using something that's sitting there on your doorstep. It is elegant.
It is indeed. I love that. So is there a particular resource that maybe Serify would want or needs to do even better? I mean, is there anybody who might be listening to this podcast that you think, I would like them to reach out to me, because Serify right now is really looking for, I don't know, business development leads, contacts in E&P companies in South Central US, for example, for those abandoned wells that you'd like to repurpose? Just, is there anybody that you kind of would like to reach out to you based on this podcast?
Yes, everybody is the answer to that. We have absolutely unending ambition. Serify has an ambition to generate 500 gigawatts of energy within the next 30 years. And that's not a hollow aspiration. It's something that we think we know we can achieve. But because of that, we need projects. So really, what we're looking for is partners who want clean, competitively priced net zero energy, whether that's oil and gas companies, agriculture in the form of glasshouse projects, spirulina production, fish farming, islands and remote communities. If they need energy, then reach it out to us. We can help with all of the project gates as well as the finance. We will have a vast exposure to industry. So any industry that requires energy in the form of heating, cooling, or electricity. And again, once that net zero stamp to their project, then that's something that we can provide, whether it's a sugar factory, a brewery, or a distillery. There are lots of projects like that. For example, in Cornwall in England at the moment, they're designing the world's first geothermal rum distillery. It's a great idea. Hospitals, shopping malls, any organization that really is looking for that off-grid, baseload, green energy at competitive prices. So, you know, we really are looking for that geothermal anywhere stamp to be communicated to everybody. If you need green energy, then we can provide geothermal energy for you wherever you are.
That's amazing. So how can people reach out to you if, let's say, they have business leads for you, or if they just want to learn more about Serify?
Well, that's the easy part. LinkedIn is a very easy place to find me. I'm quite active on LinkedIn. It's also a good place to follow Serify Energy. We regularly update what's going on. So we're just about, but maybe even today, we're just about to hit the milestone of 2,000 followers. So I'm keen to get that up to 3,000 as quickly as possible. So we do post regular updates. We also hold webinars. There's one tomorrow, for example. So LinkedIn is a great way of following us. And that's where we keep people up to date with the exciting news and projects that we're going through at the time. As far as contacting me directly, I can be contacted via email. And my email address is andywood, that's A-N-D-Y, wood@serapi.com. And Serapi is C-E-R-A-P-H-I.com. And that's our website as well, serapi.com.
Perfect. I'll put those links into the description of the show as well. And thank you so much for joining me today. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about Serapi going forward.
Thanks very much, Jessie.